Welcome to Open Payments, brought to you by Finastra.
Hello, welcome everybody. Welcome to the real-time payments and payment modernization. My name is Robert Mancini. I'm head of payments with Finastra, and I'm joined here with two distinguished panelists, with Tim Mills and Joe Casale, and I'll just let them both introduce themselves quickly.
Sure, I'm Joe Casale. I'm from the New England Automated Clearinghouse, or NEACH. Been with them forever. We provide training and education to financial institutions who are our members.
And I'm Tim Mills with the Clearinghouse. I head up our business development area at the Clearinghouse. Clearinghouse is the private sector bank-owned network utility. We operate the only private sector ACH network, the largest private sector check image network, the high-value payment system called CHIPS, and most recently, and probably most excited about, is the real-time payments network, RTP.
You and I have had the opportunity this year to do a roadshow together. We've hit a lot of different cities from coast to coast. And, you know, we've had large audiences of banks from all sizes that actually attended those. And that's just the tip of the iceberg, because I'm sure you do a lot more really exciting stuff. I've seen your LinkedIn profile and some of the posts. So you're getting involved with a lot of strategic discussion with these banks, specifically around real-time payments. But I'm sure that it brings in other elements, right? Open APIs, cloud, and other key ingredients that requires that is required in order to drive that value proposition. So can you kind of comment on how RTP is as a critical ingredient of that, and how you see kind of the market progressing?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a couple of perspectives. So if you look at financial institutions that have the resources and have built out strategies around modernizing their payments platforms, I think definitely they are looking at how do they effectively integrate some of the technological advances. So regardless of whether we're talking about API or we're talking about other elements of open banking, they realize that there's value in bringing those into the mix. But the other perspective I would bring in, and this is probably, let's, for argument's sake, say there's 8,000 financial institutions in the country, the top, couple of hundred banks may be in a position to kind of move forward with those technological opportunities, APIs, open banking. But the majority of FIs in the country are still very much dependent on partnerships that they have in place. And those partnerships, in many cases, are based on legacy infrastructure. So if you think about bank core systems, so the majority of financial institutions say, yep, we'd like to innovate, we're ready to move forward, but I'm outsourced with a processor. And until my processor enables my platform, there's not much that I can do. Or if my processor says, I'm going to give you the ability to deliver, chocolate and vanilla payments, and you say, but my customers want strawberry, there's a real conundrum there. And I think that that's an area that maybe doesn't get as much attention as it should, because I think in order for there to be a maximization of the value proposition that's brought about by real-time payments, for that to be fully realized across the industry in a ubiquitous way, as an industry, we're going to have to kind of start to think through, how do we make sure that, regardless of how you're configured as a financial institution, you have a way to take advantage of some of these technological advances. And I know, Joe, you guys at NEACH work with a lot of the smaller financial institutions. And I don't know if you see that same perspective, where there is a bit of frustration in the marketplace, because you do have FIs that are saying, we're ready to move forward. Our problem is, either the technology partner we're working with today, or the one, that we'd like to work, there's not a effective way for us to make that, start that modernization journey.
Yeah, no, I sorry, part of me is a fan, so I'm just listening. Exactly true. And sometimes they don't even have that option. They are so resource restricted. They have to go with what their core is telling them to do. They can't partner. They don't have that opportunity. So they're solely reliant on their partner for innovation. And it's a different time. It is a different time. This is somewhere in my notes later, but the ACH is 40 years old, right? And the way we've made it work, the technology hasn't changed for 40 years. So the way we've added functionality, added features, is by patching it and working around it. That only works for so long. I remember, I don't know if folks in the audience know what an IAT is. In the ACH, an IAT is an international transaction. If I recall correctly, we had to delay the implementation because all the cores said, yes, we're ready for IATs. But when you went down a level to the financial institutions, they weren't up to date in their patches. They weren't up to date in their software. So all the processes were ready with the current version, but sometimes folks were one and two behind. I don't think you can survive that way today. The legacy systems, if you are solely a legacy bank with legacy stuff and not looking at real-time payments and not looking at modernization and not looking at it, you know, you guys are cool, Finastra. I can't get into the product lines of any, in detail of any processor, but I know when I walk by your booth, it's like, wow. Just, and again, that's, I'm a fan up here. The financial institutions need to look at those things and not say, and I know it's hard, I know there's budgets and time and all the things they're working with every day, but they need to look at, say, do I patch my systems to make it work for the next rule requirement or compliance challenge, or do I build it again? Do I look at a way to really modernize my systems? And I think the time is now for modernization. And I don't want to take too much time up, but AI. So I've seen a national debate on AI as far as there's a fear that AI is going to take my job. It's going to make me disappear. Maybe, but if you look back to the 1900s, farming, agriculture accounted for 40% of the jobs in the country. It accounts for 2% of the jobs today. Are we hungry? No. Do we have excess food? Yes. Do we have under 5% unemployment? Yes. It's an industrial revolution. AI, machine learning is just the next version. There will be change. Sorry.
I need to invest in farming.
Not farming.
So I have a really tough question for you, Joe, and hopefully, I mean, you just gave me some compliments, so hopefully this is not going to change your view of me, but I want to bring up the Fed, right?
Sure.
So the Fed made an announcement recently that they're going to roll out a new immediate payment scheme, mm-hmm. FedNow, in 3 to 4 years from now. But if you look at where we stand today and we kind of play it forward, right? So we heard from Tim that they're in the 50 to 60 percentile adoption of DDAs mm-hmm. within the market today. And if I just look internally with the number of banks that we have that are about to take the journey in the next year, forget the next 2 or 3 years, you know, that's going to drive that number even higher. And, you know, and we're not the only ones. There's some banks that have chosen, you know, inferior solutions out there to go to real-time payments. Mm-hmm. Bad joke, sorry. And so when you consider, you know, all of these banks that are going to come live in the next few years, by the time FedNow goes live, we're going to be, I would say, easily at 70%, if not at 80, in the 80 percentile. So what do you see as really being the impact of FedNow coming to the market?
So I have some thoughts on this. The first one I'm definitely going to read. A recent Center for Payments study on the readiness for faster payments showed that 43% of respondents were either unsure of their payment strategy or did not have a specific payment strategy. And the other half of that, 57%, were in the process of developing their strategy or already had one. So this was a national study of all institutions of all sizes. The sample size was 700, which is a really good sample size when you look at surveys. Some surveys you look at have, 50 respondents. This was a good survey. Some financial institutions are already addressing the pain and offering services. That's great. We have, and some are preparing to review their systems. When you consider offering RTP, some institutions see it and are already jumped in. Some of our members have already jumped in, both feet, ready to go. Some haven't. Some are still reluctant. The institutions that we serve, 80% of our members are under $1 billion in assets. So they're all over the place as far as what they're looking at and how they're looking at it. We do not pick a solution. We are not pro RTP or pro FedNow. We're pro everyone because we know we can help with education and compliance and all of that. But some observations. So we have some observations. One, the Clearinghouse Real-Time Payments has been running since 2017. We don't know exactly what features or functions that's going to be included in FedNow. They're actually asking us right now, what features and functions do you want? FedNow plans to be up and running in 2023. Real-time payments is not a proof of concept. It is a real new payment rail. I know from a recent briefing that they're developing new tools and features that will be available later this year or maybe next year.
Next year.
There's hope that some systems, and this is, again, this is information for the listener and the audience. There's hope that the systems will be interoperable, but there's no agreement in place. We don't even know what the features and the functions of FedNow are, so we don't know if it'll be interoperable. As a financial institution, there are decisions to make. First, before you pick one, what is your strategy? Who are your customers, and what solution do you need to implement to remain relevant? Then the results of the analysis are you're ready to start looking at what you want to do. Do you want to start today? There's only one solution today. Or do you need to modernize? Are you three versions behind in your software? Do you need to start from the ground up and rebuild? Do you need to wait? You may identify, and we're working on a faster payments playbook that's going to help with this. You may identify, I have these critical omissions in my capabilities today. I can't even consider a faster payment solution until I address these. So I personally, and I don't know if this may not be an answer you were expecting, but for some institutions, they're going to make their decision in 2023 anyway. Mm-hmm. And that's okay because they can't make it today.
So it's interesting.
Not to cut you off, Robert, a couple of other points, though, I think as an industry we need to think through. And I was thinking about this recently. So faster payments in the UK kicked off in 2007. So we're already 12 years outside of where faster payments in the UK is. If as an industry, if we say we're not going to move aggressively forward on real-time payments until 2023 or 2024, that's almost 20 years after the implementation of faster payments in the UK. I think that there's an issue, as a country, how relevant from a payment standpoint do we continue to be if we're running 20 years behind? I think another thing is that there is this, maybe to some extent, a misperception that some of the challenges that we've just spoken about that if the Fed enters the marketplace, that those challenges go away. They don't go away. And to Joe's point, another element that the industry is going to have to work out is interoperability. And that's not an easy, you know, that's not something that you sit down and in 15 minutes, you know, everybody walks away and goes, we have interoperability. That's going to take energy. That's going to take effort. So I say that not to say that the Fed shouldn't enter the marketplace or even say that they should enter the marketplace. It's a free market. They can come in, they can compete, just like the clearinghouse has entered the marketplace and we can compete. But I think the industry does need to keep it in perspective in terms of not only what is the individual strategy for financial institutions with regards to faster payments, but also as an industry, where do we want the industry to be and when do we want the industry to get there?
I agree. We have members all over the board. And if I take off my member hat and put on the industry hat, absolutely. And if I put back on my membership hat, RTP is already innovating on your innovation. And Fed day one is going to be 2023. I use 2023 because it's 2023 or 2024. And I'm giving them the credit of the earliest date they've set. We have a member who was rolling out their first mobile app last year. And I would argue that they're going to thank the industry for the time to consider both solutions. And we have members that are running and changed their entire business model to take advantage of RTP. And they're successful. They're amazingly successful. And we have the banking system is so diverse, you're going to have a lot of different solutions. Now, that being said, and this, I think, goes to another question later on, some of them may not survive at the rate of innovation that they've adopted today. So it's something, it's a data point that has to be considered. Just again, when you look at the technology, the demand folks want, instant gratification, instant, I want it now. I don't want to wait 4 seconds. I want it now. When you pull that into consumer expectation and corporate expectation, it's a huge question. Sorry.
No, that's great. I love the dialogue. So just to build on two things. So Tim, you know, you made a really, really good point in terms of where other countries are at. I don't have any visuals to share, but we do have a visual that we do sometimes share with customers, and it shows the different countries that are on real-time payments, and it shows the ones, like one color for with the ones that are live and the ones that are coming live in the next year or two. If you and when you look at that, right, and let's assume that the clearinghouse was not there and you remove it from the equation, we would really stand out. I mean, you look at the Americas, Mexico's on real time. Canada's about to go live, right? Along with other countries south, even more south. Europe is all colored in, parts of Africa and Asia as well. I mean, if for the Fed, if we were relying on the Fed to bring real time payments in the US without, you know, the clearinghouse being live here, it would really stick out. So,
well, and Robert, I think that we need to be clear. The idea is not to devalue what the Fed is proposing or to bash what they're doing. I think the concern is that at this late stage, if you're going to enter the marketplace, and by entering the marketplace, you are giving the impression that it's viable for a significant portion of the market to wait. Until you bring forth a solution. And in terms of bringing forth that solution, you can't commit to interoperability, which ultimately, I think, you know, that was the big part of the Faster Payments Task Force work, which there was consensus that we needed to have ubiquity. And by the way, that ubiquity timeframe was 2020. There needs to be consideration given to is this ultimately, does this add value to the conversation, or does it become disruptive and unproductive to say, we're going to enter the marketplace, we're going to do it 5 years down the road, and it lulls some members of the industry to say, well, I'll just sit back and wait. I don't know if it's tenable to sit back and wait, you know, 4 or 5 years, and then, you know, get onto the faster payments highway.
No, absolutely. That's a great point. And just to build on that, and also, Joe, in the comment you made around the uncertainty, right, around what is, you know, because the Fed is basically going to you and to financial institutions and saying, you know, what do we need to build? What are the requirements? So, you know, we're still a ways off. But the reality, I think, and I think everybody knows this, is they're going to build something that is somewhat at parity or mimics what we have with the clearinghouse today. And as evidence of that, you know, so last week we had a customer event in Miami, and we invited the Fed to come and speak. And one of the questions I asked the Fed when they came over is, I said, well, you know, I said, your limit is 25,000 going in. And we see that in the UK, we're already at 250,000 pounds, which is, I don't know, the exchange, 300, 350,000 US. And you didn't mention this, Tim, but, you know, you guys are looking at going 100,000 first quarter.
Yeah, first quarter.
Well, first half of the year, right?
First half of the year, we'll be at 100,000.
Right, and I'm assuming, and maybe you can validate this, that you're going to reach some kind of parity with what they're doing in the UK. So,
at some point. I wouldn't go that far, but what I would say, which I think is a salient point, is that for us to get to 100,000 has taken us, you know, will take us a couple of years to do that. So remember, as the Fed rolls out, one of the things to keep in mind is they're going to have a development process or cycle that they're going to have to go through. They're not going to be 25,000 day one and then immediately raise, you know, day two. So again, I just think that it comes down to, you know, the industry being cognizant of the fact that we already are behind as a country in terms of our payments modernization. We can continue to nickel and dime ourselves 2 years here, 2 years here, 3 years here, 5 years there. And before you know it, the relevancy for what we roll out becomes questionable.
Yeah. And, you know, the way they answered the question last week pretty much indicated that I think they were going to go in at parity with what the clearinghouse is at. So although they're saying 25,000 today, in 4 years from now, they could be coming out at 100 or 250, depending where we're at that far down the future. So I mean, it just, I think, points to the fact that I think we're going to be looking at parity in the marketplace.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that interoperability piece is huge. If you're going to have multiple operators in the marketplace, I think interoperability becomes critical. Otherwise, all we're doing is creating a lot of fractured closed loop offerings. And I know that that's part of the focus. I know Joe and Neach serve on the Faster Payments Council, that's one of the reasons for the Faster Payments Council being stood up, was to create an environment that's fertile for ubiquity.
All right. So I think that concludes our session. We are over time. I wanted to thank both of you. This was excellent. Thank you very much, Tim and Joe. I appreciate it. Thank you to the audience who is here attending live at our session. And thank you to those who have joined us through the podcast.
Excellent. Thank you.